Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him."
I think I first began worship of any sort at Sunday school. We grew in a little village, but an incredibly strong Sunday school. The first song I actually ever sang in Sunday school was a ballad of David Crockett. But we did get onto I met Pauline. We were both Sunday school teachers. And when Pat was talking about the disciples this morning, I remember teaching a group of lads for a year. And when it came to the disciples, I got the entire cast of the Magic Roundabout. So it's one of those things I've never forgotten. But I want to share this morning about living under the incredible anointing of God. It's a lovely picture. Right in the middle of this psalm, it says, "I am anointed with fresh oil." You know, over the years, I've anointed many, many people with oil for healing, been anointed myself for receiving. But God wants to bless us. Whatever else we think, He wants to bless us. And I don't know about you, but nothing gives me greater joy just to get up in the morning and sit in the conservatory, grab a coffee and just spend time with God. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I can honestly say I'm not like that every day of the week. But I see this whole psalm as a sandwich. You've got the biblical presence of the praise, the worship. Then you've got the daily living at the bottom of it. And right in the middle, there's this wonderful anointing that spreads both ways. That lovely verse that talks about the pouring the oil of anointing over Aaron, it flowed all down his beard. I think the nearest anointing I got was on top of a coach once doing worship when somebody threw an egg. Made more of a mess of my guitar than it did of me, but there it is. This lovely verse. It is good and delightful to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. As most of you know, I spend a lot of my time these days working on worship for a secular magazine, actually. But I'm more and more getting Christians get linking with me. I was on this week with a guy from Switzerland who I found is a Christian, and we're doing a fair bit together. Got a guy I know in America who was born in Israel, he's now living in Chicago. I was dealing with one of our own worship leaders the other week, Bryn Howarth. There's that lovely international community of people that love the Lord. And whenever you link with one another, you encourage one another. You know, the top layer is worship. We always begin our services with worship. I have the joy, I haven't done lately, of going to the Chinese church in Oxford. And the worship's in three languages, two Chinese languages and English. for those of us that have not visited China. But the worship, the material of the words, just flows. Because worship's in the heart, isn't it? It's not what language we speak, it's in the heart. When I speak there, the youngsters go off after and look at it all again. And begin to build one another up in the word. That anointing flows. It's almost, as Pat was saying, telling another, it's like passing on that incredibly fresh anointing with other people. You know, we could all talk of a career, but where are we today? You know, I can't go back to my years at university, though I was invited last week to join that another committee, but that's not it, neither here nor there. But that was a period that was past. Research moves on. Students move on into new lives. But God's loving kindness never fades, does it? Loving kindness in the morning. Your faithfulness at night. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it. Though I'll be honest with you, there are days I'm not rejoicing. We all have those moments when we don't, aren't we? One foot in the grave comes to mind. But our heart is full of God. Our heart should be always full of his wonder. You have made me glad. And I was thinking, I keep watching these, catching up with these things on the election. I thought, isn't it good we don't have to vote every 4 years to be Christians? God's government is forever, it's eternal, isn't it? I was reading something the other day about Henry III. And when he was going to be made king, the French had taken over the south of England, so they couldn't use the Westminster Abbey. They couldn't use the crown. There was no bishops. So he got crowned in Gloucester Abbey by a local dignitary. And he had his aunt's coronet as a crown. There was nowhere. You know, when we see it now, we see the anointing, don't we? You know, when the king's done, it's quietly anointed. It's part of it. And the good thing is, that king at that time made Oxford the seat of government. There we are, look, Laura, we're in that together. Seat of government. And then he created several. So we became part of something created in 1258, I believe 56. But then we went back. One of the great things of all our kings, all our queens, they've been anointed, haven't they? They bring the anointing oil over from Israel, from the Mount of Olives. We go to Greece a lot, and all the young people born there are given an olive tree as birth. Is that, like we might give ours a Bible or a silver bracelet. And by the time they're adults, that tree's producing. Look at that lovely picture in our own eyes. We're anointed by God. We begin to grow, we begin to flow, we begin to produce fruit. The whole of this psalm talks about fruit, being fruitful. And I realise just how much this world needs that today. I've spent recent weeks with the wonderful town chaplains in Whitney, talking to ordinary people. You realise how many problems ordinary people like you and I have. How many people that we meet. And it began with people sort of sticking their nose up because they knew we were Christians. But in no time at all, they were talking to us. I spoke to a lad who was talking about committed suicide. A young lady going through a really terrible marriage where she's been abused. These are the sort of stories that were coming up. And God's anointing takes you into those places where people's lives are real. I'm part of an international prayer team that pray for Africa through African Enterprise. And there's always things to pray for. I love things like the women's sewing group where they're providing sewing machines that they can earn a living. Apprenticeship schemes for young people. These have all come out of the wisdom of God bringing anointing on people of things that will improve people's lives. Then there's that singing a new song unto the Lord. I spent a day a few years ago with Jack Hayford, and he was telling me, I've probably mentioned this before, when he came one day with his wife Anne to Blenheim Palace and got in the car and wrote, Majesty, worship His Majesty, having looked over Blenheim. That is how worship comes. I always say my new songs always come in the car, which I can never remember when I get home. But it's not always having a song to give, it's having a new song on our hearts to encourage our day, isn't it? Lord gives us things that are just for us, not for everybody else, but just for us. And there's things in life that's like that. The Lord has given a land of good things. I will rejoice in them. I will take hold of them. I was talking this week about how God provides when Jesus said, I'm the food of life. I do the work my Father's given me to do. And it took me to think, looking at things in the Bible where God's provided, whether it be the Garden of Eden, whether it be the people spending 40 years wandering around the wilderness, getting into all sorts of trouble for them in the Promised Land, or 5,000 people on the mountainside with two little loaves and five fishes, to Jesus cooking breakfast on the shore. Look at that lovely picture. We're His disciples, and we've come this morning, and as we land on the shore in front of Jesus, there He is preparing. There's a lovely, lovely picture there, isn't there? That as we come before Him, He is preparing. He wants to bless us. He wants to overwhelm us. He wants to encourage. And that lovely verse when David says of God in verse 11, my eye looks upon those who lie in wait for me. Wow. God's looking out for us. Are we looking out for Him? Worship is an amazing thing. I've seen many, many times where God's healed just as we worship. When we've not prayed for anybody or anything, just as people worship, God inhabits their praise and begins to move in power. Pat knows that. You've been with me when it's happened, isn't it? Where people just get healed right where they are. Because God's presence is there. Because when we praise Him, we're drawing Him in. I think Paulie has said to me a few times, don't forget, we do have neighbours. I ought to move in a big house on my own. I wouldn't have a problem. But what are they hearing? They're hearing something positive, aren't they? David speaks of his life. You know, this is a man of God said, he's a man after my own heart. I can talk with David mouth to mouth and heart to heart. Those days when we just sit there and share our hearts with the Lord. Those days when we may be encouraged. Those days we might feel totally flawed. He's there. I will never fail you or forsake you. Jack Hayford tells a story. He was going to, with a friend of his, flying to a funeral. And his friend, it was a terrible thing that had happened to their family in the States. And he said, Jack, what do I say? Before he got there, God gave him a song. God will find a way where there seems to be no way. I will find a way. We are a people that God has found a way. He has brought His word alive into our lives. He touches us in all sorts of ways. We are chosen. I love that. I love being a chosen one, don't you? God has called me by name. Wow. He says, you're mine. You're mine. Come and have a hug. You know, He's chosen us by name. Very, very personal. I remember my first Christian camp. I went into the evening meeting Saturday night, pouring a rain. Wow, the shock of all shocks. People dancing before the Lord. Even men in wellies and raincoats dancing before the Lord. I thought, this is not right. Walked out. The next night, God filled me with the Holy Spirit. So I thought, I'll join you now. God is a life changer. But it's always for the good. Yeah, we sometimes look back to look forward of what God can do, what God has done, and God what God will do. I think when we got saved, if we'd have listed what we wanted to do, it wouldn't have come anywhere near what we've done, ended up doing. I think prisons and London streets wouldn't have been at the top of my list or even at the bottom. God is a God of adventure. Have you ever thought of that? He's a God of adventure. He's got so much more. Paul talked about them much more many times, didn't he? He also said there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We no longer live under condemnation. We live in the freshness and the presence of God. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's one thing to sit there and moan and groan. We've all been there. But you, when we wait on the Lord, you're renewed in His presence. You're just renewed in that incredible presence of God. Renewed in that wonderful place of being His. Encouraged, blessed. I was at a meeting the other week, actually. I didn't want to go. And Pauline said, well, I think you ought to. And I was still in an hour until I got a phone call and said, Pete, could you pick up the speaker? He's over in Canada and he needs a lift. So off I go, pick him up. Got there, sat at the back. I thought, came right out of this, you know. Right at the end, we're just getting up to go. And he walked straight over and said, Pete, I've got a word from God for you. And it was encouragement. People left that night encouraged. I pray for every one of us today. We receive something of God because He's got so much more. This is the day the Lord has made. And it's not for dads just to get chocolate on Father's Day. It's the day the Lord has made. My late lovely mother-in-law was just so rich in blessing whenever the family were there. It was just amazing just to watch it. She sort of glowed. That's what we should be like in God's family, people that glow in His presence, a people of fellowship, seeing what the Lord's saying into our lives. We're planted in the house of the Lord, and what are we planted here? You don't plant things to drop dead, you plant them to flourish. Now, I won't be dishonest, I am the world's worst, maybe the world's laziest gardener. But thanks to Pauline, it's an absolute glow of colour at the moment. And Britain in the middle of spring is a gorgeous place to be. There's colour everywhere. We were in Holland the other year, just the tulips were all coming out. It was just an absolute blaze of colour everywhere you went. That's what God brings in His church. He brings many colours. He brings life. He brings vitality. I work in a whole stack of different areas of music, but nothing's quite the same as worshipping the Lord. Nothing quite that uplifting, because you know that when you worship the Lord, you're worshipping your Heavenly Father, aren't you? You're worshipping the one that loves you most of all. You're worshipping the one who's blessing your life, even the days when you think He's not, He is. When we did Faithful One earlier, I was doing quite a bit at one time with Phil Lawson Johnson. He's written quite a few of the songs we use. And he said this song had been hanging around for years, actually, and it was Faithful One. It sort of disappeared. And he came in one Sunday, we were doing something together, he said, I've got this new song for Brian Dirksen, who wrote that. He said, I think we'll be hearing more of this and was coming. Now is the time to worship. Now is the time to worship Him. There's no better time to worship the Lord right now. this day. I have before now quite happily shouting and worship in the car. I did one day on the top of Banbury Road roundabout, not realising all the windows in the car were open because it was such a hot morning. So what? This is the day the Lord has made. We need to share that with everybody else. We need to be encouraged ourselves, uplifted ourselves. It is a good and a delightful thing to give thanks to the Lord. Nothing's better. And what's good, it's good for us. Put this along with your five of the day. It's good for you. There was a report 2 or 3 years ago, you saw that some doctors said they found the most uplifting people were the people that prayed. So let's pray. Be encouraged. Be encouraged this week. As you meet in the week, as you meet one another in the week, just be encouraged. We've this week got a wedding, and Steve, one of my best friends, it's his daughter, and I remember praying for Steve when he was desperate to marry Annette. And she wasn't too sure at the time, but we kept praying. It's their daughter getting married this week. And that's how God works. We were on youth work together, we did worship together, and now he's got his daughter, he's getting married. Another Joshua, so we've got married and biblical names here. Pray believing God. Pray believing that God's got even more than you've already seen. And for those of us that are not quite so young, there's a lovely verse that says, growing in grace, they shall bring forth fruit in their old age. My wife meets every week a lady who's 94. She just encourages. I was talking last week to a lady who's over from Jerusalem. 94, and she's like a bouncy little toy. Just cannot stop talking about the Lord. It means there's no age gap on this. We've got a few years to go before we get 94, but anyway. But the more we share the Lord, the more we're encouraged by the Lord. The more we lift the Lord, the more we shall be lifted. And I pray in the coming days and weeks, like never before, you'll see the amazing anointing of God over your lives. As Pat says, right on, when we come in on a Sunday, we raise the roof. Raise the roof. There's no harm in that. You know, I've done things from tiny little churches to the Albert Hall. And I don't care how many people